The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our guest today, back with us once again, we're very honored to have His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus, the Bishop, the Eparch of the Eparchy of Parma, the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Northeast Ohio. Our producer is Dan Dealey, and for the next hour, you are all our guests, and we thank you for being here, and we wish you all Happy New Year. Bishop Lach, welcome again. Happy New Year. Christ is born. Let us glorify him.
Thank you. Happy New Year to everybody, listeners of the NRG Radio.
It has been a long time since we've been here, almost 6 months, Bishop. And so before we start talking about different things, lead us in the prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, every present, filling all things, treasure, blessing, giver of life, come and well within us, cleanse us of all stain, and save our souls, O gracious one. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Bishop Milan Lach, as we said, it's been about 6 months since we talked here together. And first, I suppose, tell us how you are. How is your health? And what have you been doing in 6 months since we last sat down here for Table Talk?
Oh, yeah. So many things were happened in these last 6 months. It was from August, I think, last time I was here. So it was, the beginning of the school year. So, on St. Mary's School in Cleveland, our unique grade school, what we have in the United States. So we started with all these, restrictions and all this, fear, but also with this hope, again, to kids, to be school in person. And thanks to God, all, this time they were, and it's a nice. And afterwards, there's a preparation for, we had a priestly convocation, once to 2 years in Michigan for all our priests from all our 8 states of Midwest, from here, from Ohio until, the Minnesota, Minneapolis parish, or maybe St. Louis, Kansas City, in Missouri. So we were together, to speak also about, as a priest, also about St. Joseph. It was concluding the year. Pope Francis last month was concluding, the year of St. Joseph.
And that's big for your eparchy because in Brecksville is St. Joseph Byzantine Catholic Church. And that, I know I've attended there sometimes, and it was very special for Father Reby and the people there.
Yeah. And I was in Europe because I had one meeting, business meeting, with Cardinal Sandri, our superior from Eastern Congregation. And during this trip, I got COVID in Europe, in Slovakia. So I was 2 weeks in quarantine. So it was a little bit funny because, without health insurance in Slovakia, I can have. So it was funny. But God was providing and he sent good people, nice doctors to help me.
It looks like you've recovered well.
I had pneumonia during this time. I didn't know.
What that is like.
Yeah, so thanks to God, I recovered well. I visited my mom and my brothers so for a short time, and afterwards I was in Rome for a couple of days.
And your mother and your family in Slovakia are well?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they are, thanks to God, they are resisting and protecting from the COVID and all this stuff.
The last 6 months have been very strange for everyone. No matter what kind of family life or business or activity you do, certainly for you and your eparchy and the churches and your clergy, for a while we thought maybe this was going away, and then the Delta came and the Omicron came, like one after another. And we talked about this fear, and to some degree it seems like the fear has come back again in a lot of people, Bishop. People are getting sick, maybe not as bad as the other viruses, but there's still this feeling of fear, and all you see on the news is how many people got it in the hospital and they died, and the kids in the schools are wearing masks or they're remote learning, and in Chicago and some other places. The teachers went on strike because they're afraid, they said, to go in the classroom. This is going on for 2 years now. How do we face this again, Bishop Law?
I think that we, from one side, really we have to be smart and to follow, you know, the medicine. I'm telling also from my position as a bishop, I spoke also in Slovakia this, because the same problems, the division of the society. And this is not, you know, our approach as a Christians, as a Catholics, to divide and to say vaccinated, unvaccinated, and we will make no differences. No, we are brothers and sisters, is the first. And we have to take, you know, this approach to this, to respect each other, the decision. If somebody is convinced to not be vaccinated for many reasons, I accept this, I respect this. Myself personally, I was vaccinated because I believe that is, you know, is something that any infirmity, sicknesses, we were protected by vaccination. And I think for future, this is something what will be. So COVID will be with us here. So it not will be that, you know, next year we'll be say goodbye. Maybe it will be for forever. In sense, we will be here. So my approach, you know, this is to maybe to, as a Christian's approach, as a Catholics, really to be the people of the unity, the people of unification, not to give the devil the space for divisions and to tensions. No, it's a space, as you know, the time really for repentance. It's a time really to reflect ourselves, our lives, our approaches. Lord is sending. We can say also, you know, sending, you know, this situation in our life to test our faith. And I see in my circles how really it's influencing, and people are revealing their level of their faith. And this is something what is showing us that we have to work a lot. What I would like to, you know, really to encourage also, you know, the listeners of the Rock Radio, you know, really to go back to our roots, to Jesus Christ, to Holy Gospel, to Holy Bible, to read every day regularly, you know, the at least I just mentioned last times, you know, the daily one chapter from Gospel, for example. But daily, because this is serious. Also follow, you know, really the, you know, the Holy Pope. Pope Francis, it's our shepherd. Because devil, what is, you know, looking for? He's looking for, you know, the division. And, you know, to make chaos. And in the chaos, nobody will able, you know, to be able, you know, to find out the true path. It will be, you know, the, and he is, as a Pope, the shepherd. We have to follow, you know, shepherd. This is, you know, part of the our faith of Catholic Church. Many people have impression that we are also confusing. Oh, you know, the Pope is telling this. He knows what is a telling. You have not all information what is a telling. How is, you know, he's important, you know, to preserve the peace, you know, in all world, Middle East, you know, that and other countries, Africa, and, you know, the also the Europe right now, you know, problem, you know, Ukraine, Russia. Many of these problems we are, you know, following externally from here, from United States. You know, I'm not the one telling about politics, but also, you know, he's trying, you know, and if you are following his messages, he is encouraging people really to peace, to be human, to be really as a Christian active, as in prayer, also, you know, in active charity life to others, etc. So my approach, to come back, you know, to your question, also, you know, this time, we have to, you know, to wash the hands. We have to, you know, really also to have all, you know, this what is normal things in society to preserve, to work, to exist together. Normal things of the healthy. Is nothing, you know, with faith connected. Nobody is asking, you know, to brushing tooth every day. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
To say, you know, it's normal thing.
Part of life.
It's a part of life. So also we have to, you know, to live in this. But we as a Christians, we are invited something more. We have to be salt of this world. We have to be light of this world. And my question is, are we?
Are we? You mentioned that you know, the division in the society that not only the coronavirus and all these tensions, this holiday season that was just past us, Bishop, many families were divided. If the family is the center of society and the center of civilization, the cure, the remedy, should begin in the family, no? And we saw families that said, no, you cannot come over for Christmas because someone in your family's not vaccinated. We're not going over there because of this. You think this way, politics or whatever, so the family is now divided. I think everyone listening has some experience of that, that the families themselves, close family and the extended family, divided over all these issues now. And if there's not peace in the family, then how can there be peace in the society, in the church, in the world?
You're right. And maybe I can give, you know, advice, simply advise, you know, families, please don't speak about, you know, the COVID. If really you see that this is, you know, the point of division and tensions, I think, you know, we have more as a something in our lives to respect and our relation, gratitude as a love to our, you know, to our siblings, for example, to our parents, to our kids. So simply don't speak about this. If this is, you know, the point of your division, means it's not as a good thing. The devil wants, you know, to propose to something as important. It's not important. For Christians, it's important the saving our souls. Our goal is heavenly kingdom. And as St. Ignatius is speaking, you know, his retreats, you can use the tools as are good for you, for your spiritual wealthy. If somebody is not good for your spiritual wealthy, don't use it, please. So it's a, you know, a little bit maybe more
discernment.
Maybe more should be nice also to, for people, also for listeners on radio, to make, you know, the points of discernment, according to St. Ignatius, for example, to help people to discern who, it's one proverb, who is able to make good discernment, is able to teach good. So this is my proposal. If you are coming, you know, in conflict in your families to, you know, the for case of sake of COVID, please stop to discuss about this. And yes, you mentioned many mass media are for 24 hours of 7 is speaking only about this. Life is going on in other, you know, dimensions. Many other, you know, things are important for us, not only COVID. You know what I mean? To tell that we have to live this life. And more, I'm convinced that we have to live with this. With the, you know, not as, you know, to passively accepting the situation. No, we as a Christians, we have to be, by Holy Spirit, creative. How we can to help others.
Today, more than ever, just sitting back and letting things happen is not enough for the Catholic.
No, absolutely
for the Christian.
No.
As you said, you have to be active and make something happen. I know of families who have said over the holiday season that we can talk about things, but we're not going to talk about politics when you're here at the dinner table, and we're not going to talk about COVID. That's it. And we'll talk about our families, we'll talk about faith, we'll talk about whatever else it is,
many different things.
How are you? How's your family? Yeah. But these things are off the table because when they come up, so often they divide. And the devil is the great divider. In the last 2 years, I think we as Christians have really seen what that can do.
Yeah.
And how active, if you allow that evil spirit to come in and to dominate what happens.
Yeah, he needs this. He needs unique divisions. He needs divisions. Diabolos. Devil means who is dividing.
Before we go to take a break, the people in your churches, in your eparchy, clergy, religious, and the faithful, for the most part, they've been healthy since we've talked the last time?
Some of priests, also Father Marek, you know, my general vicar was sick.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, as well as a second, you know, this part he took, you know, COVID. So, yes, or some priests also in eparchy, but more or less, yes, is, you know, the life is going, but we try to be careful. And also with this, some restrictions, yes, some are complaining, but I, as a bishop, I have to be smart and also for protecting people. And I believe that we can to slowly go to normalize life, but we have to be a little bit patient. And this is what is a nice and interesting. It's learning us, everyone, the patient. And this is a virtue. St. Paul is telling, you know, in his letters. This is something we need also today.
Isn't that the truth? Because most people live lives of always go, doing this.
Scheduling.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, boom.
Stop.
You come to a stop and you learn a new pace. And that's just the way it is for now. We're talking with Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He's the bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. And you're on Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some of the things that you mentioned. You were in Slovakia. A lot of different topics coming up. We have a question from one of our listeners, and we'll get to all of that after we come back after a brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk. You're listening to Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260 The Rock. Our guest here on Table Talk today, His Grace Bishop Milan Lach of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma. You mentioned you were in Europe and you had a meeting with Leonardo Cardinal Sandri. This was back in September. Was it September?
It was scheduled in October, but in early November, but it was mid-November.
Mid-November. And his role in the church is he's the kind of the head or the prefect of the Eastern Catholic Churches. And you had a meeting with him regarding your eparchy of Parma?
Yeah.
So you represented Northeast Ohio and all the other states that you have in your care with the cardinal. What was that all about? What was the purpose?
It was as a regular meeting. What is important, you know, to inform also our superiors, also Vatican, how we are living here in the United States. You know, the United States is big, is great, and, you know, also he's responsible for 400 bishops in all world. Middle East, Central and Eastern Europe, North of Africa.
India.
So many, you know, bishops, and means, you know, many joys, but also many problems as everywhere. So this my meeting was, as a goal of this meeting was to inform Cardinal Sandri about actual situation, about what we have, the schedules, maybe projects, visions, challenges of the eparchy, with all, you know, the small communities, what we have, you know, spread in all this Midwest. This is something as unusual, also pastoral model for Eastern Catholic churches, because usually they have small eparchies territorially, you know, in small territory. So it's something unusual to have so big territory as, for example, Eparchy of Parma of the Ruthenians has in the United States. And also with this are coming some difficulties with communication, with meetings with priests, with people. Right now, with due COVID, I can't fly regularly with all, you know, this restriction in sense, because first of all, for my protection, but also protection of people and also in these communities. So this all was, you know, the content of the, you know, the meeting, to inform him how, you know, the last, also, you know, we last these years we had, you know, the also pastoral activities, project, financial, economic, you know, the our situation, how it was making better. I have to say, you know, these last 2-3 years of the eparchy, that's going slowly, you know, also to communicate to people for what we need, you know, these financials. That is a for mission, for evangelizing, for really, you know, to bring this good news about the heavenly kingdom here in the United States, in all these communities, in this our Byzantine tradition. And for this, for formation, for example, of seminarians, or maybe future seminarians, candidates, you need some, you know, the money for also to help them. So for all the question of the retired priests, we have actually 13 retired priests plus Bishop Kudrick, emeritus bishop, that also we have to take care of him. You know, it is my responsibility as a parochial bishop, and also for some missions. We have four missions, so, and we are thinking really, you know, to develop and, you know, these missions and to make them parishes. Also for this, we need some amount financials for them. So all this was, as you know, the topic of the my meeting with Cardinal Sandri. It was a very nice meeting. He was asking, for example, he was asking for nuns, monastery of bridegroom, because he was here 2 years ago. And so he wanted to also know how is the situation with them. So many, you know, the questions also, you know, and also the situation about, for example, consolidation of the Dizao Cathedral. We are waiting for a decision of the Vatican. How will be, you know, resolve this? And also this is a question important for us, how to proceed in, also here concretely in Northeast Ohio and in Cleveland for future. Because people are shrinking, numbers are shrinking. And we really want to make, you know, the vibrant, maybe smaller community, but vibrant, that we'll be together to praise, to worship to God, to and but also with some modifications when it's necessary.
Yeah, we talk about all these concerns of the world,
yeah,
financial, geographical, this sort of thing. But Bishop, you always seem to come back and say the number one thing we must remember. What is our job? To get people to heaven.
Yeah, and this is a priority.
So all these other things,
yeah, it's a secondary.
And you always come back to that, like a focus.
Yeah, this is my mission as a bishop, as a shepherd, to remember people this, record them this, remember them that, hey, don't forget, we are a short time here, and we are invited to be participant of the heavenly kingdom, of this life with God. And other things are important. I don't want to neglect this. But we have to always have, you know, these priorities. This our peace in our heart. You know, this our peace among us. This unity with each other. The love each other. The mercy. The, you know, the practically all, you know, beatitudes was telling. Sometimes, you know, forgetting this and we are thinking something what is important. No, we are not business company. We are church. As a church, we are a community of brothers and sisters baptized in Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity. And our goal of the church is, yes, to move and to lead every one of our members to heavenly kingdom.
Since the last time we talked, you brought here to Cleveland, to your eparchy, one of our dear friends and a very important part of Catholic Radio, Father Mitch Pacwa, a fellow Jesuit. And Father Mitch, of course, everyone who, you know, listens here to AM 1260 The Rock knows who he is, and through EWTN television as well. And he came in to help you kind of start and put a big emphasis on your stewardship appeal. So that is one of the things that it is a worldly concern, but it's very important because you have to have the means to do it. What was that like with Father Mitch Pacwa, and what can he do to let the people know how important it is to support as much as they can?
Yes, it was first time what we organized this dinner or evening of hope. He was as a main guest for us, that, you know, Father Mitch Pacwa, for really, you know, to promote and to start maybe some nice tradition to be together. And really, this atmosphere I felt there, that there were people. Maybe they knew each other before, but also in this atmosphere, I was a little bit scared. I was a little bit concerned as before, because never I had this experience. In Europe, we had not this experience to organizing this type of fundraising, as you know, fundraising, you know, the events. So for me, it was something as an adventure also to, you know, to be here. But when I knew that he's coming and he accepted my, you know, invitation here, and he was very willingly to come to support me as a Jesuit, because we are as a Jesuit. So and also I knew that he's well now in, you know, EW2N in his programs, but he's also as a spiritual, so means as a Maronite tradition. He's going, you know,
yes.
Maronite churches for 2 decades. He's going helping in Alabama in the local Maronite community. So he has, you know, this sense for these Eastern churches, as also Bible scholar, that he knows the background and also, you know, this rich tradition of these communities. So also he explained people that how is it for nice and good meat important the press spices.
Mm-hmm.
That Eastern Catholic churches are the spices as for meat. You can have wonderful meat, but without these spices.
Yes, interesting way to look at it, that the Eastern Catholic churches are the spices of the universal
for
church.
For universal church, for also necessary for Catholic church, Roman Catholic church, also United States. And this is, I think, it was very clear to understand everyone, mm-hmm. because everyone is cooking and everyone know what does it mean. Yeah. So his presence was very nice, was very, very, and he was also, and after the next day, he had the homily in our St. Mary Church and on State Road on the hierarchical liturgy. So it was nice. Many people also from outside as the visitors came for this liturgy.
It's good to make the connection and now to have, let's say, Father Mitch make the Eparchy of Parma kind of part of the EWTN family as well. So we have Bishop and, you know, Father Mitch, and the connections are very, very authentic and very clear. And Father Mitch Pacwa has always been a big shining star, one who can articulate the faith from many different perspectives on television, on the radio, or as he did for you late last year in person. You were mentioning in our first part of our program, Bishop, about vocations. You mentioned the Christ the Bridegroom Monastery, which we know is in Burton, Ohio, and might be 10-something years old now. The success of drawing women there to consider the monastic life has been very successful. It has been. And recently, in the last couple months, you had two more women make the profession of life profession to this. In this day and age, this monastic life seems remote or something unusual to people, but it's so attractive now. And I wonder if you can tell us what is there and what is attracting these women to a life different from the rest of society right now. It's like they're in the world, but not of the world.
Yes, what is, you know, you're asking me, you know, what is, you know, this attracting? The answer is simple. Jesus Christ is attracting them. Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, is a God, as a Son of Man, who is inviting individually every one of us to realize our Christian vocation. And majority of the other people are realizing this Christian vocation in marriage, in Christian marriage. As in sacrament, in mystery, whereas, you know, two persons, man and woman, became one body and one soul. For be open to family, to have kids, to educate, to raise kids, and to really create, as you mentioned before, this basic cell of the society, which is very important. But from beginning of the Christianity, after persecution of the church in the 3rd century, started in Egypt, especially Egypt and Middle East and in Palestine, you know, these countries, regions, monastic lives. So people wanted to be martyrs, but in different manner, because was just stopped persecution of the harsh persecution of bloody martyrs. And they were looking for this martyrdom in different manner. We are speaking about white martyrdom. And the monastics, this monastic life especially, was founded for, many people doesn't know this in Western, as a church, Western society, civilization, the monastic life was born on East, in Egypt and Middle East. And from there was brought, you know, in Rome and through, you know, the Saint Benedict, came, you know, in Western Christianity. But, you know, we are dividing right now the Eastern Western. First 1,000 years, we have to tell, you know, in Catholic Church, wasn't divided. They were, you know, these 10 centuries were one. Many Eastern fathers live decades or many years in Rome. Many people, yesterday I got, you know, this information, the Saint Maximus Confessor lived many years in Rome. And we could say, it's Eastern. And what did he know in Rome when he was Eastern? Because he was at home.
Yeah, he was very close to the popes.
So, and, yeah, yes. And they were all monks. You know? And so this is attracting also today, because God also today, also in the United States, wonderfully is inviting the people to follow him. And this is one expression, you know, this bridegroom, Christ bridegroom monastery, women monastery, is a one expression of this initiative, activity of Holy Spirit. And this is a wonderful that these young ladies, young girls, with education, after college, with prospective career, they are leaving all and they are going to live, you know, in, for people of this world, in restrictions, limited of space, for under obedience of one of these igumena superior for all life. For many people, could be, you know, maybe as a fear. That is not true. It's a joy and it's a peace. If you will eliminate all, you know, this, I don't want to say the temptations, but, you know, all, you know, this from the outside worldly
distractions.
Yeah. Afterwards, you are concentrating in your life on your heart, really to live God with God, you know, this peace with Lord, this unity with God. Because monk means, from word Greek word monos, means one. Means, what does it mean one? One with God. So monastic life means to be one with God, as you mentioned, in a world. They are praying for many petitions from people from outside. They're coming to them, but, you know, no in this world. And all his habits, you know, the clothes, vestments, and all his style of life is showing us that we are expecting something more. That human being wasn't created only to eat and to drink and to go football matches and games, but something more. We are invited to be with God. And just starting, you know, here in church on this earth, and this is, you know, this attraction also these young ladies, the young girls, to doing as a witness and invitation to others to reflecting how it's possible. When we start to put questions, is the first step to evaluating and to reflecting about my faith.
So many people are so busy today. They say they don't have time for this, they don't have time for that. But obviously, the young women who are part of the Christ the Bridegroom Monastery have taken the time to reflect. And as you said, most of them come from the early part of very successful careers. It's that call, that tiny voice, something, Bishop, when you entered seminary and were ordained a priest and so on, everyone goes through this, but many people don't take the time today to just think, what does God want from me? Interestingly, at St. Ignatius High School, there's a big saying there in stone out on the campus from Father Welsh, you know, what is it that God is asking from me? And it's not difficult to think about that, is it? What do you do?
It's not difficult.
Holy Spirit, please help me. What does someone do if they're listening and they want to stop 5 minutes, 10 minutes and think, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, this is, you know, the basic, you know, question and decision question of the every one of us. How is our sense of our life, especially young people? And we have wonderful tools in Catholic Church, on Eastern or Western tradition, to help these people to find this, how God wants to, you know, to fulfill the will of God. And all is, you know, running gospel, especially Beatitudes. 8 Beatitudes in Matthew, go in chapter 5, and to read, please, maybe today, if you have a little bit, couple of minutes, you know, the time, and there is, you know, answer for how we have to fulfill the will of God. Blessed the power, poor of spirit, in spirit. This is for this world crazy. But for followers of Jesus, disciples, means be free. from all distractions, from also, I can say, also temptations. And we can go one after second to say that this is very important also today. And I think, you know, I believe because they have other new candidates. Mm-hmm. What they want to enter, you know, young girls, they have some candidates just right now. In Jasmine Monastery is one of them as a serious candidate for, you know, in this process, here from Cleveland, Olivia. And afterwards, other girls are, you know, scheduling and coming, you know, in this next month for the sermon process and also to be there. So what is important? If you have some questions, please don't hesitate. The first, ask your local pastor, your priest. If he's not able, you know, to help you, go to, for example, our brothers Jesuits, where they are, you know, the special for, you know, to helping through retreats to discern your vocation, maybe discern your sense of life. To retreats, we have, you know, in Parma, we have, you know, retreat house. You know, we have two communities, and the St. Ignatius community, and, you know, in the John Carroll's community is a community. Go to ask. And also, you know, these orders, we have many orders. Franciscans here, they are, you know, the many nuns that, you know, go to ask. Go to ask, you know, to what God wants from me. And we are here for, if you have really, you know, have problems, write me, you know, email, you know, the bishop at parma.org. Send me, you know, the question about, you know, this. If nobody is really here, you know, to help you, I will try to help, you know, to also discern maybe your vocation. Because, you know, for this process, it's very important to have spiritual guide, spiritual father that will be guide you. Because we are, as you know, in forest, and we don't know where is, you know, east and where is the north. With spiritual guide who has experience will help you to make this direction and this decision. It's very important. This is my experience. When I was young, it was also my problem. But, you know, the spiritual guides helped me to discern what is, you know, this my vocation. This is my case, you know, the priest and to became a Jesuit. And this is, you know, is helpful, very helpful for all your next life, that you are afterwards stable. I'm not telling it's not coming, you know, the difficulties, temptations, always they will be. It's a normal. But you know your direction and you feel in your heart the peace.
We're talking with Bishop Milan Lach of the Society of Jesus. He is the bishop of the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy of Parma here in Northeast Ohio. You're listening to Table Talk. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We'll be back with more of the bishop. We want to talk about the liturgical calendar. Almost hard to believe that soon, in some weeks, the Lent, the Great Fast, will be here again. And we'll cover that and a few more topics when we return in just a moment. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I am Dick Russ, the host of the program, our guest, Bishop Milan Lach. And Bishop, we're kind of still in the Christmas season. It's in our heart and some degree on the calendar. We've just passed the great feast of the Epiphany. In the Eastern Catholic churches, this takes on a big significance. There is a special rituals and so on after the liturgy, the blessing of the holy water and exorcism rites of the water, all this sort of thing. We had a question from a listener. Why is the Epiphany such a big deal in the Eastern Catholic churches? Not that it isn't in the Roman Catholic Church, but there, to them it seemed to be more emphasized.
Yeah, we have to look for the answer just, you know, in the beginning of the Christianity after persecution, when was defined the term of the Holy Trinity. How was position of the Holy Father, God Father, God Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because on this feast, we are naming also Epiphany, or maybe the Holy Theophany, means the revealing the Holy Trinity in moment of the event of the baptism of Jesus on the side of the river Jordan. When Jesus is starting his mission as a prophet, as a Messiah, as a Savior. So for this reason, it's for Eastern Catholic churches, also Orthodox Church, important this feast, even more as a Christmas. For this reason, to revelation of the Holy Trinity. you know, this Trinitarian dimension of the theology in Eastern Church is very important, because all what's happening, you know, on the Holy Trinity, if you remember your holy baptism, go to see that priest is baptizing every member, future member of the Catholic Church, in the name, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this Trinitarian dimension in the Eastern theology and also Eastern spirituality and liturgy, it's very important. Many times we are making sign of cross with three fingers, with many times the Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, three times. Why in one time? Because for put this accent of the Trinitarian life, what I mentioned before, what is our sense of our life? Sense of the goal of life of every Christian to participate on the life of the Holy Trinity. And this is something that is in our prayers, and all you know this, is going in this dimension. For this reason, also the feast of the Holy Theophany on January 6th, also with this consecration of the Holy Blessing of the Water, means, you know, that Jesus is coming to consecrate the creation. He's entering, you know, in this world, what was corrupted by original sin, not only human, Adam and Eve, but all creation, as I mentioned St. Paul in his letter, is suffering and is hoping to be rescued from this, you know, this slavery. And Jesus is coming as a Savior, foretold and by prophets many centuries before, to rescue not only human being, but all creation. And this symbolic act, descending on these waters of Jordan, is consecrating all creation. It is very symbolic, very theologically, to, you know, to make this liberation from power of the devil. And there is starting something what is on the end, fully expressed on the moment of the Jesus' holy sacrificing, his suffering on the crucifixion and the resurrection.
And from Epiphany in the liturgical calendar in the Eastern Catholic churches, Easter is late this year, but we are not too far from the Great Fast. And we also have in the Eastern churches this Sunday of this week would be considered 36th Sunday after Pentecost. And it's a gospel that we hear sometime, but not every year, the Canaanite woman. And you do your gospel reflections, Bishop, on their videos that are sent out. We're very pleased to play them here on Cleveland Catholic Radio every week. The Canaanite woman is something that has been somewhat mysterious, what some of the things that Jesus says. Just very briefly, what would your reflection be on that?
It's a very important point for also for mission of Jesus. Many people, we don't realizing this, that Jesus came as a first for save the Israel. All promises from Abraham through Isaac to Moses was concentrated for promised nation of Israel. So Jesus as a first is coming on this world to fulfill this promise of Israel, of people of Israel. So there is he speaking, I came for all sons of kids of Israel who were dispersed and neglected. But what's happened? Those who were in intention to be saved as a first, so this is the remaining, they, for some small exceptions, refused, you know, this invitation. And afterwards, this Canaanite woman is a symbol of us pagans, goyim in Hebrew, means, you know, really, they consider us as pets, as a dogs. Dogs means, you know, second class. And God took us, and this is a wonderful for us to see that God didn't forget us, non-Jews, no Israelites, and gave us, you know, this privilege to be son of God, to be kids of God. And this gospel is showing us that also we are in this plan. We were accepted in this plan of our salvation. Really, you know, to be part of this Holy Trinity, to be as a members, to participate on this divine life. And this is wonderful gospel because it's showing us that also pagans can have faith. Also, these crumbles are going down, panning on earth, and also the ducks, these pets, small ducks, are eating from this. And this is wonderful, you know, the expression that with connection with Israel's people, that we can, you know, to pass what, you know, this anti-Semitic, you know, man, you know, Europe, Hitler, you know, the Second World War, etc., etc. But always we have to reflect on this connection that to be together, to create this union, what I'm telling, that we are part and we can participate on this.
We have a few minutes left. We're going to take a quick break because this is a very important week for all of those who believe in the sanctity of life. We're going to talk a little bit about life issues and conclude our program here on Table Talk on Cleveland Catholic Radio in just a moment. Welcome back to our final segment of Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're with Bishop Milan Locke. Bishop Locke, this is a very important week and weekend for all of us who believe in the sanctity of human life. The March for Life taking place, many local parishes and so on, and organizations and individuals are doing something together. Just take a minute or two to talk to our folks here on the radio about the importance of sanctity of life.
Life is a gift of God, and every life has to be protected. Every human life has to be protected by us as a Christians and non-even Christians, everyone, by everyone, because we are created on likeness and image of God. Every human being consists something what is difficult to maybe describe, is that, you know, this our soul, our spiritual part, what can be, you know, deleted, can be canceled. It's not possible. So we believe as a Catholic teaching of the Catholic Church still, you know, has and will be defending on the end of, you know, the world, the dignity and the human dignity of every human life from conception until the dying of the human life of elderly persons. We have to watch this, you know, and this is, you know, we can speak a lot about this. So, but we please really, you know, to think about this, how it's important, because this life we got from God as a gift. And we have to make a lot for this. Also, we have the rests, we have, you know, the reserves to protect, to speak, but it's more important to act for life, for protecting the life unborn, for protect the kid, the mothers, protect the families, protect the fathers, and many, many questions with the opening about, you know, the family, the problems and challenges United States and also all Western civilization for to be really there. And this week and this event is giving us maybe also the time to reflect, not only this week, this weekend, but all year.
Bishop Milan Locke has been our guest here on Table Talk. Bishop, as we conclude our program, your blessing and a final prayer, please.
Okay, we will invoke the Mother of God, and we will ask her really to be our mother. She is our mother. She is the mother of Jesus, Theotokos, and we will ask her by our prayer to protect us. More honorable than the cherubim, and beyond compared more glorious than the seraphim, where Virgin gave birth to God the Word, you truly are Theotokos, we magnify. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace, loving kindness, always, now and never, and forever.
Amen. Bishop Milan Locke, thank you very much for coming again. Always a pleasure to have you in our studio here at AM 1260.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our producer has been Dan Dealey. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Thanks very much, most of all, to you for listening. Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.